It'll be a study of the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a tremendous book. It's a letter to a church that Paul himself had never been to. A letter that reveals the gospel that Paul preached. Today will simply be an introduction to the introduction. So pretty easy, okay? But I want to give you one hint to a primary reason for doing the study, why it's in my own heart to do the study. Here's the very last verse of the letter to Romans, chapter 16, verse 27. This is actually NIV. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the very last verse of the letter. It's a conclusion to a doxology that occupies like the last three verses. Doxology is just something, words of praise. Doxos is actually the Greek word for glory. So words of glory, words that give glory. Here, the words of praise are directed towards God. God is described as the only wise God. To that only wise God, Paul wishes to give glory forever. Great words. Good words. Words to which all of us are invited to say amen. So let it stand. To the only wise God be glory forever. Amen. But here's the reason for the study of Romans. I want you to be a person who, like Paul, when you give such a doxology, to the only wise God be glory forever, amen. I want you to be a person that when you give such a doxology, that you would have it seem to you to be appropriate, to be right, to be fitting, for it to be necessary when you say such a doxology, to say the words, through Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the study. To make it just seem appropriate and right, necessary for you to say, when you're going to give words of praise and glory to God, to the only wise God be glory forever, that it just seems appropriate and right for you to say, through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean by that I want you to memorize the phrase so that you say the doxology correctly. That is not what I mean. Rather, I want us to be a people who are inclined to say the phrase just because it represents our understanding of how what we're saying gets done. How glory to the only wise God forever gets done. And just deepen our understanding that gets done through Jesus Christ. So it just seems appropriate and right to say through Jesus Christ. So I don't want that phrase to just be an interesting tangent or sidelight or some type of addition. I want us to realize that that phrase, through Jesus Christ, is the sine qua non of the doxology. Sine qua non is a phrase that means without which there is not. It's the indispensable element, the essential element. You don't have that element, you don't have it. So that the sine qua non of being able to say such a doxology is to know that it's through Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the whole series will be just to help us put Christ in the picture where he's supposed to be. To put Christ in any picture, every picture, where he's supposed to be. How does Christ fit into the picture? How do you put him in the picture? That very last verse of the letter to Romans reminds us that you don't give glory to the only wise God apart from Christ. So he has to be in that picture, if you want to be part of that picture of giving glory to the only wise God. Jesus Christ is in that picture. If Christ is not in that picture, it's not happening. It's not getting done. It's not taking place. So here's a question for you. For what other things is Christ, a sine qua non, without which there is not. If you say, I want to do a good job, should you add the words, through Jesus Christ? I want to do a good job through Jesus Christ. I want to be a good employee. Do you need to add the words, through Jesus Christ? Or can you be a good employee without adding those words, through Jesus Christ? If you want to be a good husband or a good wife, good son or daughter, good father, good mother, good friend, should you say, I want to be a good friend through Jesus Christ? Should you put those words in there? Those words are a sine qua non, that if it doesn't happen through Jesus Christ, I won't be a good husband or a good father or a good friend, a good son. Or you can be a good, decent husband without through Jesus Christ words on there. There's other avenues to be a good husband or father. If you want your sins to be forgiven, you want to be washed clean, should you say through Jesus Christ? Because you realize that only through Jesus Christ sins get forgiven, people get washed clean. If you want to be happy and fulfilled, should you say through Jesus Christ? Or should you say through frequent fishing adventures? Can happiness and fulfillment come both ways? Either Jesus Christ or frequent fishing adventures. What should you say there? Is Christ a sine qua non to just having a happy and fulfilled life or not? If you want to reverse some of the sexual perversion that's rampant in our society, should you say through Jesus Christ? Can that only happen? Change in society, redirection of our culture, can that only happen through Jesus Christ? Would you maybe stick those words on it? Or Jesus Christ not that essential to perhaps reversing the direction and the content of our society? Should Jesus Christ be in every picture? Is he necessary for every picture? Or is he necessary for some pictures, but just a nice addition in others? How does that work? Something that I, for what that's worth, that I both wonder about and something that I worry about, is do we put Christ in our pictures the same way the Scripture has him in the picture? Do we put Christ in our pictures? From doing a good job, being a good husband, being a good friend, getting our sins forgiven, wanting to be happy and fulfilled, wanting to be successful, wanting to make a difference in the world. Do we put Jesus Christ in our pictures the same way that Scripture has him in the pictures? I wonder about that. I worry about that. Here's a verse taken from Galatians. If righteousness comes through blank, there's not actually a blank in the Scriptures, but if righteousness comes through blank, then Christ died needlessly. Paul thinks righteousness comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Paul admits if you can get righteousness some other way, then Christ didn't need to die. Paul, by the way, puts a pretty great thing in that blank. You know what it is? You know he puts a pretty great thing in that blank. But is there anything that can be put in that blank and have it be true? If there is anything that you can put in that blank and have it be true, then you don't need Christ. If you can get righteousness through people adopting biblical values, then Christ did not need to die. Instead, you should work to get people to adopt biblical values. If you could get people to be righteous through accountability groups, through 12-step programs, through mandatory diversity training, if you can get people to be righteous that way, then Christ didn't need to die. We just need more mandatory diversity training. If you could get righteousness through a consistent prayer life, through spiritual disciplines, through the creation of safe places. And all we need to do is create more safe places and people will be righteous. They can play with their dolls and, you know, puppies, pet the puppies and eat cookies, and as they feel safe, they'll be righteous. If you can get righteousness that way, then Christ didn't need to die. If you can get righteousness through professional counseling, through an advanced degree, through laws that mandate equality, if you can get righteousness that way, then Christ didn't need to die. If you can get righteousness through a rigorous enforcement of high standards, put the bar way up there and make rigorous enforcement of very high standards, if you can get righteousness that way, Christ didn't need to die. If you could get righteousness by the relaxation of standards until everybody's already meeting them, if you can get righteousness that way, I'm okay, you're okay. If you could get it that way, Christ didn't need to die. You can't get righteousness by just deciding to call anything and everything righteousness. If you could, Christ didn't need to die. So is there anything that can be put in that blank that truly brings righteousness? If there is, Christ didn't need to die. So are there things that can be found through Christ, but also can be found in other ways? You can get around by buying a car. That's true. Buy a car and then you can motor anywhere you want. But a car is not the only way you have that's possible to get around. I mean, you could take a bus or train, buy a helicopter, ride a motorcycle. So there's other ways to get around. Jesus can help you become a good person, but are there other ways? Are there other means by which you can become a good person? Or is Jesus the only way to become a good person? Jesus can do it, but yes, you can do it through other avenues if you so choose. I want Romans to help us know, to help us understand, what is impossible apart from Christ. If you don't have Christ in the picture, this doesn't happen. What goals are there? What purposes? What destinations can't be reached? What happenings don't happen except through Jesus Christ? That if you don't add the words "through Jesus Christ," it ain't happening. Because it only happens through Jesus Christ. I want Romans to help us identify what's impossible apart from him. I also want Romans to help us know what is possible through him. With the words "through Jesus Christ," what doors open that were closed before? What paths can now be walked that were inaccessible before? I think we often pretend that we can access things apart from Christ that are only possible through him. We make it sound that you can get there other ways than through him. You want peace, you want justice, you want love. Perhaps Jesus can help you with that. But if you're not interested in Jesus, there's other ways that you can go after peace and justice and love. Visualize it. Visualize peace. You don't need Jesus. Just visualize it. Put it on a bumper sticker and stick it on your car. Do it every morning when you walk out. Visualize peace. If you can get it that way, you don't have to do it through Jesus Christ. Just change the system wherever the system systematizes injustice. Get it out of the system where it's been systematized in there. If you get it out of the system, get a pure system, you'll get justice. You don't need Jesus. You need a better system. Of course, you can keep going. But are there things, we tend to think there are things that you can access apart from Christ that perhaps can only be accessed through him. But something that's even more important, especially for those who are believers in Christ, when do we live as if what's impossible without him remains impossible with him? In other words, those words through Jesus Christ don't really add much of anything. You were selfish and arrogant and grouchy apart from Christ. But likely you will remain selfish and arrogant and grouchy even with Christ. Because you're selfish and arrogant and grouchy because you had a difficult home and your dad was mean to you and your third grade teacher didn't like you. You've had difficult circumstances and you got lots of burdens to bear. Of course, you're selfish and arrogant and grouchy. Not even Jesus can change that. You'll probably stay that way. So through Jesus Christ, you'll be arrogant and grouchy and selfish. Well, that we think it was impossible before apart from him, but we think it's still impossible even with him. How can you change those things? So I worry about a couple of things. I worry about it when we act like through Christ, through Jesus Christ, we can't do anything different than the way that we were acting and living apart from him. People will be people, you know. People with Christ, people without Christ. People will be people. So we can't do anything different even with him than was possible than we were people without him. Christ doesn't really open any doors that were closed before. Christ does not make possible any paths that were impossible before. Christ doesn't fulfill any purposes that were frustrated and unfulfilled before he was on the scene. We act like Christ can, with Christ, we can do nothing different than what we did apart from him. Or we act like that what is found in Christ is equally available to others through other means. Yes, you can get it through Jesus, but you can get it other ways too. You got patience from Jesus. That's great. I got it from an excellent therapist. 5 sessions, $50 a shot, and I got patience. Oh, you get it from Jesus? I get it from some other quarter. Romans tells the story of the gospel. It claims to be a revelation of the righteousness of God. My fear is that we'll read it all 16 chapters of it, and yet we'll find no righteousness that we didn't already know about. Claims to be a revelation of the righteousness of God. We've read all 16 chapters. I didn't find any righteousness that I didn't know about before. G.K. Chesterton wrote a book once called What's Wrong with the World? I wish I had done this. One guy reviewed it, says, you know, I've read all 368 pages of it, and I have no idea what's wrong with the world. And furthermore, I don't think Chesterton does either. Can be like that. It's a revelation of the righteousness of God. I've read all 16 chapters. I don't know about any righteousness that I didn't know about before I started reading. That's my fear. My hope is that we will realize even more than we already do just the unfathomable riches found in Jesus Christ. That those words through Jesus Christ opens up treasures in mysteries, in power, in grace, you know, unfathomable riches through the revelation of the righteousness of God in the gospel of God, which is through Jesus Christ. And that as we touch those riches, we become people who are always wanting to say, so as we experience and walk in, pursue those riches, that's through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. That's where we found them. That's how they're known. That's how they're experienced. Glory to the only wise God forever. You know, through Jesus Christ, you know. Through that revelation of the righteousness of God through him. That's how you do that kind of thing. That's my hope. So hopefully, just to stir your desire a little bit, and hopefully stir your interest, I want to just show you a few examples from the letter. We're going to just lift phrases. So it might frustrate you a little bit. Well, what's all that stuff he's talking about? But I just want to whet your appetite, hopefully, a little bit. Again, my desire is not at all that we train ourselves to say the words correctly. I've been on committees, maybe you have too, where you have to generate a statement, perhaps a statement of purpose or of mission or of faith. And it goes something like this. Somebody says, shouldn't we say something about the Spirit in our statement? Okay, let's add in the power of the Spirit. So we add that into the statement. And somebody else says community is really important. Shouldn't that be in there too? And so, okay, let's add experiencing genuine community in the power of the Spirit. Somebody goes, what about love? Doesn't the Bible think love's important? Shouldn't love be in there? Okay, let's add in true love in the power of the Spirit in genuine community. Well, that reminds me, that true part, you know, you just can't have love, you got to have truth. Doesn't the Bible say truth and love together? So shouldn't we put something in there about truth? Pretty soon we got all these different phrases dumped in there to satisfy everybody on the committee that the statement, Searle, I don't know about you, I have never left those types of meetings feeling, you know what, we have a deep, rich, full understanding of this. I always feel we're just adding a bunch of empty and worthless phrases. None of us know what any of them about. We're just dumping them in there because we got stuck in our head that it's like important to say something about the Spirit. So we put that in there, something important to say about love and community and whatever else that gets stuck in there. So that's not my interest. I'm not trying to get you to be a person. Remember to say through Jesus Christ. Roger wants us to say through Jesus Christ. I have no interest whatsoever in that. So here's some phrases from the book, from the letter of Romans. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace. When you think about grace, think about receiving grace, it just seems appropriate for you to say, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we got it. Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. I sit down to pray, thank him, God, for you. I thank him through Jesus Christ. That's how it seems just appropriate and right to give thanks. That's how it's possible to give thanks. I do it through Jesus Christ, even when I'm praying for you, thanking God for you. God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. The judgment that's coming, the content, the secrets of every human heart get exposed and get judged. God's going to do that through Jesus Christ, through his Son. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Central theme of Romans, the righteousness of God. Paul says that righteousness gets tapped and known through faith in Jesus Christ. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, being bought back, being reclaimed. Redemption is in Christ Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, you didn't get it at the counseling center. You didn't get it by some brilliant new policy from the federal government. We got peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God. We exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That exaltation, that rejoicing. How does that happen? Well, we exalt through Jesus Christ. Through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That came through him, but our exaltation is through Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Some kind of triumph in the living of life. Righteousness reigning in life. It's kind of that victorious life idea of how people who have been reconciled to God, who have peace with God through Jesus Christ, now reign in life. Through Jesus Christ. Grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here's something to eternal life. Again, a reigning idea, grace reigning through Jesus Christ. Just seems appropriate to Paul that you know what I'm talking about happens through Jesus Christ. No other way, no other avenue, no other means. You are made to die to the law. Through Jesus Christ, through the body of Christ. A huge argument in Romans about how we walk by the Spirit, not by the law. We're under grace, not under the law. We were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. That's how it happened. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, a triumphant phrase at the end of chapter 7. Who will deliver me, wretched man that I am, from the bondage that he feels? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So claim there to have found something in Christ. Kind of was impossible any other avenue, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And 8, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. But him there is God, the God who is for us, who can be against us. So nothing, put the big long list in there, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, that love through which we overwhelmingly conquer, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love of God that makes us able to overwhelmingly conquer in height and depth and sickness and life, the dark and light among powers now in the ages to come. That's found in Christ Jesus. So there's just a sampling. All through Romans, Paul's going to be telling us these are the things that are available through Christ Jesus. Being a Christian is not, first of all, about doing things for Jesus. I marshal all my energy and my talent and my interest, and I'm going to do things for Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus. Being a Christian is primarily and fundamentally about knowing and living the life that is found through Jesus. That's been made manifest, that's been revealed through him. A life that manifests what God has revealed in the gospel through his son, Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is living that life that God has revealed through his son, in his son. A life that's accessible in no other way except through Jesus. Available through no other means. A life that manifests the righteousness of God to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. So hopefully that's whets your appetite a little bit. So what's possible? Does Jesus Christ have to be in every picture? Should he be in every picture? Is he necessary for every picture? Can you be a good person, live a decent life, a happy life, make significant changes apart from him? Or should you know, through Jesus Christ, righteous before God, through Jesus Christ, to his glory, through Jesus Christ? So I want to make just one suggestion before we share communion. I want to encourage you, while we're in this series, I want you to encourage you to pray for yourself, but especially encourage you to pray for others. You maybe have some loved ones and some that you're carrying on your heart. Pray for them. If you don't have any like that, take the people in the row in front of you. Pray for them. And I want you to pray that that person would know the things that are through Jesus Christ. I want you to pray that for yourself. I'm going to ask you to pray that for others. Pray that for Manish. That Manish would know the things that are through Jesus Christ. Whatever those things might be. Maybe there's only two things. You want them to know those two things. Maybe there's unfathomable riches. Okay, that's through Jesus Christ. You're praying that Manish would know the unfathomable riches that are through Jesus Christ. But pray that for one another. So whatever you think needs to happen, whatever you think needs to happen for Manish, needs to be a good father, good dad, provide for his family, love his neighbors, quit being so grouchy. I don't know what you think Manish needs. But whatever you think Manish needs, whatever you think would be good to have happen for Manish, pray that he would take hold of things through Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray that for each other. I will be praying that for you. That everything that I think needs to happen to you, everything that I want to have happen for you, I'll be praying to take hold of those things through Jesus Christ.